traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network, bringing to you today all the latest equine news from around the world. Today, we're going to start off with something that's major to the thoroughbred industry. We're going back here to a few years back, to the 2018, actually, on the court filing aimed to halt the proceedings against Justify, the Triple Crown winner. Back in 2018, Justify won the 2018 Santa Anita Derby and went on to win the Triple Crown. And basically what happened is he tested positive for some medications that had got into his system. And so they taken it back on to the courts, and we're going to find out just exactly, you know, what happened, you know, with this, how it happened. It's very interesting. They waited a long time to bring it out to the public, to see what happened. You know, it's just, I don't know about our systems, our checks and balances, the things that we do here, you know, what happened. There's a lot of finger pointing, you know, to it. It's a shame that, you know, it had to be justified, you know, a Triple Crown winner, because that's the last thing we need is, you know, doubt being put on our sport. But yet again, it says a lot because they are, you know, pressing forward to find out what happened. We don't know what's going to happen. We'll find out when it gets out in the court. That should be within the next 90 days. We'll find out what's going on exactly, you know, with that. I feel bad for the owners. I feel bad for the trainer. I feel bad for the jockey. I feel bad for the horse. You know, they just don't know what to do about it. So I think it's going to be interesting to find out. We'll let you know as soon as we find out more about what we're doing there on that report. But the court filing aims to halt the California Horse Racing Association lawsuit, I think it is. We're finally getting in sync. Going to go to talking about our last call show. Right now from England, we have the Tattersall October yearling sale on our website. It's a great sale. Prices are really going good, which is surprisingly because of the COVID. When the COVID came in, everybody wanted to know exactly what's going to happen, you know, to the sales. You can't have large gatherings. You know, the horses would be all like a Caneland or a Fassiketan or Saratoga or what have you. And you'd have crowds of people coming to look at the horses. You know, very few of the people that are at the sale were actually the buyers. But had a lot of spectators, a lot of horsemen, you know, was trying to participate and be part of the action there. And also, what happened is technology had to jump ahead and get on to an answer to the sale problem. Because if you stop the sale, because of the COVID, then it has a domino effect. You stop the sale, the breeding sale, then it goes to the two-year-old training sales, it goes to the mixed sales, it goes to sales of, you know, broodmares, stallions, you know, that type of thing. So what they did is they got into the virtual stables where trainers and owners can go and look at their horses on video. The video market just sprang up. It became very important. Now, you got to remember, a lot of the consigners were not used to dealing with video. You know, how do you go out and check a horse for confirmation? If the horse has raced before, you have access to, video of the horses running before. There's just so many things that you have to put together to get a video history, of a horse, especially at the sales. And so I narrow down to the basics. What does an owner, when he's going to buy, do? An owner has the veterinarian vet the horse out. The owner has the trainer watch the horse train or watch the horse gallop or race. And then they actually go, and physically see the horse. So what that led to was the owners sending their trainer or their rep out to look at the horse. They looked at the horse, and then they give a phone call back to the owner verifying that all the things that, they thought might be there are there. So that's how they did that. So that was a kind of a quick, easy fix, to what they were doing. So now that you have all that information, you go to the sales. And instead of being physically at the sale, they have found a way to broadcast through the internet, through YouTube and, websites, the sale itself. So the owner and the trainers, they're still a part of the sale because they're actually bidding from, their laptop or by the phone, like we do on the last call, whether it comes from the phone, the internet, or at the sales. So they do have people at the sales that will be bidding on the horses, representatives of the owners that will be buying, at the sale. Very limited. And one of the things that I was thinking about is a lot of times you get into the sales and you see four or five of the top buyers sitting in the sale ring. And when a horse walks into the arena to go under auction, they're looking at each other. And you can tell by their animation, by their antics, by who they're talking to, what they're doing. If they're writing something down, if they're really not going to bid on the horse. That's the element, the only element that has been taken away from the sale. If you don't have that opportunity to look your competitor in the eye and say, all right, I'm going to go to 100,000. How far are you going to go? So that was the thing that, always concerned everybody because that plays a role in what that horse sells for. That plays a very big role in it because a lot of times you might get a trainer in there that will bid, get another trainer to bid up knowing that he's not going to buy the horse, himself, but he could force the other trainer owner into buying. So after that has been said about the sales, we looked at the sales. See if they were going to be high, low, different from last year. How's the market this year? Well, surprisingly enough, it didn't affect the sales. It might have, to a certain extent, but the high-end horses are selling, and they're selling very well. That's the good part about the sales now. For example, Dancing Candy Coat tops the OBS October open session. It was a real nice horse that came in to the sale. It was great. They couldn't believe that they were getting the money that they were getting for this horse. It was a $115,000 sale. And it was excellent. And so that's been running throughout all the sales here. They're doing very well. They had a 650 head catalog for the 2-day auction. It included 2-year-olds and horses and racing age and OBS sales. They had 381 horses for $7,361,400. The average price was $19,000. The median was $10,000. 119 horses did not sell from the 500 off. So, you know, that's not bad. I mean, it's not bad at all. When you're getting out those kind of averages, you know, for the horses, it makes it good. You can make money. You're not going to go broke. Well, I'm not going to say you're not going to go broke. You know, but the sales are really going good. And that's the whole thing. It's all about technology. You know, the owners have to get together with their people and say, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to send out the vet to look. We're going to send out the trainer to watch. We're going to sit here at home, and I'm going to buy the horse on the, you know, which is really, you know, has proven successful. So the status of the sales, the equine sales of all breeds is good. It can be done. You just have to put a little more effort into it. You got to make sure you get videos of your horses, get all the right information together like you do for the catalog. But all you got to do basically is add the video to it, you know, and you'll be successful. We got, and back to our calendar, we got the Keeneland sale coming up, November 18th, in Lexington. It's a breeding stock sale. It's gonna be a good sale. A lot of potential there to buy some mares that people are selling that got out of the business because of the COVID, because they didn't want to take a risk on seeing what was going to happen down the road. And now that we're down the road, you know, there's going to be some people get some nice horses, you know, out of this thing. In catalog of brood mares, brood mare prospects, Wayland horses and racing age stallions, stallion prospects, and stallion shares. And there's some sale coming up. Book one begins November 9th. It's going to be a real good sale. It runs from the 9th to the 18th of November at Keeneland. And if you're interested in the horse industry, to start getting a good start, that would be the place to go, because you can buy any type of horse, you know, whether it's racing, breeding, weanlings, info. That would be a great sale to attend. So I was thinking that, you know, if you were to put together a syndicate, you could take 10 guys, you could put in $1,000 each, and you could go and get a real nice horse and make yourself some money. And that seems the way to be things are going now, you know, for the sales. A lot of syndicates are out there. You know, the price of the horse now is very, very low, and you can take a chance and not have to spend a lot of money. You know, so I would suggest that everyone go out to see the, you know, see the Keeneland sale, and see what's going on there. And then the sale that I was really interested in this year was the California fall yearling sales. That's a classic tip sale here. So they got 298 horses in that sale, and I never could figure out why they don't throw two more in there and make it an even 300. Well, that's beside the point. But the California yearling sale is an excellent sale. And they've got a lot of good horses that come out of there. They're well-bred. You know, it's something different to see. The California breeding program is excellent. They're doing a lot of things with their horses. You know, they've got a lot of good programs. The purse money in California is good. You know, that's the Horseman's Delight, California. If the weather could just get better, they could get rid of the fires and, you know, what have you. You know, it's not bad way to go in California. So, you know, last call with sales, just go to our website. You see last calls, you see the things that we have on there today. Like I said, we have the Tattersall sales from England, book two. It's live now. The sales are going very well there. We're spending a lot of money on it. So it's good. And when you go to the sales, you might be able to buy you a horse that can get you to the breeder stuff. And so that's what we're going to talk about now is the breeder stuff. Interesting to see, it's back at Keeneland. A lot of the horsemen really did like the Breeders' Cup being at Keeneland because you're in a location where all the major farms, thoroughbred farms in the industry are in the Kentucky area. And it gives the trainers and the owners a chance to literally pretty much see their horses run in their own backyard. I think Keeneland's a great track. It's historical. There's a lot to do there at Keeneland. You can see the farms. You can take farm tours, things of that nature. It's really good. But one of the things that I was looking at in the Breeders' Cup this year, in 2015, the World Championships at Keeneland, all sources wagering totaled $150 million for the two-day Breeders' Cup at Keeneland. You know, it was phenomenal. The on-track handle was $20 million plus. It was just fantastic, you know, that kind of money, you know, to be on track. Of course, we didn't have the COVID then, but they had 44,947 fans on October for a record Breeders' Cup Friday attendance. It's just amazing. 44,000 people, you know, to the Breeders' Cup. And then on Friday, I mean on Saturday, Keeneland hosted 50,155 fans, almost 10,000 people more than they did the Friday before. And, you know, it's just phenomenal, you know, when you see that kind of fan base, you know, for a sport. And it makes you realize that, you know, you have to, you know, get the product out to the fans. And with the COVID, we haven't been able to do that. And unless you come to websites like we have, and, or you go to NBC or CBS or Fox or, you know, what have you, because they really started you know, promoting the programming and doing, putting together real good programs for it. But, you know, you're looking at 94,000 people in 2 days to watch horsemen. And that's not what you would even think, you know, when you add television to it, what kind of ratings you get there. They had 1,500 people attended the Breeders' Cup post-position draw at Keeneland on Monday the 26th. It was the largest attendance in any event, any draw event in thoroughbred history. So, you know, that says a lot right there when you've got people who go over there and spend the day just to watch the draw, because it's not like they draw, you know, the post-positions in an hour because of not a race that they have. You know, so it was a good Monday for them. And then they had thousands that attended the Breeders' Cup breakfast in the morning. They took free tours of the backside, and while they watched our horses, you know, warm up and train that morning, you know, that were Breeders' Cup horses. And so, you know, that's an event in itself, along with, you know, actually attending the races. It was so funny that Keeneland, they came out and they said it was one of the deepest editions of the Breeders' Cup I've ever held. They had 161 starters in Keeneland. 25 of the horses were from overseas. So that just goes to show you, you know, that there's an interest in our industry. Yeah, you know, and again, it comes back to distribution. If they can't get them to the track, you know, how can you get the product to them? And it becomes, you know, a television, internet type thing is what they do. And, but to have 25 come from overseas is just, you know, an amazing number. You know, one of the things that I said in this Breeders' Cup that they would get 5 million viewers. That was my prediction for the day. but they had 4.6 million watched on NBC telecast in the Breeders' Cup. 4.6 million people watching the Breeders' Cup on NBC. And not only does it go show you what a product that, you know, we have from the horse industry, it just goes to show you the amount of viewership, you know, that NBC does and the quality of the programming that they place, you know, on the Breeders' Cup. And it's a very informative day, and I guarantee you won't get bored during the day, that's for sure. You'll keep your eyes glued to that TV, especially now, which is a good thing, if you're watching from home. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about paying for your food. You got to pay for it, but, you know, you can do pretty much what you want to do. The Breeders' Cup at Keeneland in 2015 brought $65 million to the city of Lexington. That's a huge economic impact for any city. $65 million people shopping and staying in hotels and just unbelievable, you know, how they do that. 65% of the people, attendees polled on site said they had never been to the Breeders' Cup before. So that's another indication to show you the importance of getting the product out, you know, through distribution. That's the key word in the horse industry now. It's distribution of everything, the sales, of the racing, of the breeding, you know, everything. And one of the unique things that popped up out of this COVID this year was the fact that we have a tremendous amount of farms that you can go to and take a virtual tour. Like Spencer's Farm, for example, you go to Spencer's.com and you can take a virtual tour of the farm. The only thing that they don't have on those virtual tours is the smell of the horses. And if they could do that, then it would be just like being there. But the virtual tours are great. So if you see a farm that you might like or enjoy seeing, you know, just go to Google them. Go to their website, and I'd say probably 80% of them had virtual tours of their farm, and it tells the history of it and the winners that they've had. So that's a great thing for families to sit down and do. And Bluegrass Field during the Breeders' Cup 2015, they had 450 private jets. It landed at Bluegrass Airport. That's a lot of planes to be putting on a small airport. 450 planes. It blows your mind. You know, so we're looking at a lot of good races coming up, you know, for Breeders' Cup Day, Friday and Saturday. It'd be well worth going to look and see what all they have on Breeders' Cup Day. Make a weekend out of it. And, you know, the Friday and Saturday party and barbecue, there's a lot of things you can do, you know, for it. And it'll be a great television event for our viewers and our listeners, you know, to be able to watch it. You don't have to know a lot about horse racing, but you can tune in and see what celebrities are there and what they're doing. Who's betting, who's winning, who's losing. And it's always good, you know, for something like that. And speaking of the Breeders' Cup that's coming up, we've got the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And that Breeders' Cup Juvenile is where we officially, International Equine Network, start our video and our radio programming of how they get there. How they get there is a documentary, an ongoing documentary that will be an hour long right before the Kentucky Derby 2021. But every week you can come in and you can see how they get there together, how we're going to do it. It starts with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile on November 6th in Keeneland. That's where if you've got a good two-year-old and if you have a desire to run in the Derby, this is the first test. This is the first real test, because if you can run good in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, then you're shot at going on to the Derby, and it's pretty good. But unfortunately, usually the two-year-old winner of the Breeders' Cup has not been very successful, you know, coming to the Kentucky Derby. It's a tough road because, you know, from that point on, they're running every week against good horses. You know, and it's unbelievable, you know, how that happened. We're looking at some nice horses here from the juvenile coming up. It's like a win and you're in. We got a horse called Jackie's Warrior. And Steve Ashmussen trains this horse. And he's been great. He dominates his wins. He's just unbelievable. He won the Hopeful at Saratoga. You know, he's got everything together. He's actually probably farther advanced than most of the horses are. And he's going to be tough. And I'll come back to him in a minute because he just ran in at Belmont in the Champlain Stakes. And I'll tell you the results of that. But we're going to go through the other two-year-olds that will be coming up from the Breeders' Cup. The second horse that I like is a horse called Spielberg. He's a million-dollar horse. He was runner-up in the Del Mar Futurity most recently. He's a son of Union Rags and is ready to handle a lot of ground. And we have not seen his best day yet. He's trained by Bob Baffin. So that'll tell you a lot. Bob hadn't seen his best yet, and you know something's coming down the road. Third horse that I like is called Sitting on Go, which is Dale Roman's trainee. He's 2-for-2 following the score from off the pace in the Iroquois at Churchill Downs. He's a real nice horse, a good prospect. And they prepped him well for the juvenile at King. Yeah. He's a nice horse. He's really nice. My fourth horse is trained by Chad Brown. It's Reinvestment Risk. This horse is impressive. He won at Spa. He returned to finish 10 lengths clear and second in the Hopeful. He's spread all over. I think he's a sleeper. He's going to be a horse that, you know, if he develops properly, which Chad knows how to do that, you know, this horse could be a major contender. But like I said, right now, all these horses that I'm going to give you, the 10 top horses, they're all getting ready for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And we'll know more after that. We'll see what the real deal is, how long they progress, you know, how far they've come along, and just who they are and what they are. So we're going to have to really have their game on to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Her fifth horse is Essential Quality. He's a homebred by Godolphin. And he did not have a perfect trip in a Churchill Maiden race on his debut, but the son of Taffet still drew off to a commanding tally against what appeared to be a very fine field of prospects. He's a bit behind schedule, but the talent that he has to bring him forward in the juvenile. This is a horse that we'll really have to watch. If he runs to his potential and his breeding, this horse is going to be getting tougher every week. You're going to have to beat this horse. There are six horses, Dr. Chevelle. He won the Del Mar Futurity. He really came to hand in Del Mar with a pair of sharp tallies at the meeting. This horse is something else. You know, he's good. He's done what they've asked him to do. There's a question whether he can go two turns or not. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, because he's one of those horses that they're going to have to, every week he's going to learn something different. He's going to run against tougher horses. who's going to go two turns. You're looking at different track conditions, you know, different facilities I have to run at. So, you know, he's in the schooling process right now. And if it comes along good, he appears to be good, you know, he could be a contender too. All 10 of these horses could be contenders. The seventh horse is North Pole. This pioneer of the Nile colt looked the part in a fine first out tally for Callahan. They paid $1.5 million $1.5 million for him at the yearling purchase, and they hope that that he can get where he needs to go. Again, it's all on paper right now for this horse. It's all on paper, and you know we'll find out in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Not only will he be getting more experience, but he'll be getting tested by horses that are really, really on top of the game. The eighth horse is Calibrate. He's second horse trained by Asmussen. Do it early and pulled away late to win the debut in Saratoga Sprint. He's a distorted humor colt, and he's trained swiftly since his score that he had in Saratoga. So this is going to be another horse. You know, they tried him in Saratoga, and he showed something. So now, you know, they're going to throw him in with all the big boys and see what happens. Her ninth horse is Golden Pal. He's Florida bred. He's wild card. Coming into a trio of short sprints with the last pair coming in on the lawn. He's a bay, he's fast, and I'd like to see this horse, see how far he can go. You know, with him, his speed on the dirt, if given a chance, he could go somewhere. Now, this is a Wesley Ward trained horse. And Wesley Ward is mainly a grass trainer. And he can get them prepared for both dirt and grass. He had a horse called No Nay Never here a few years back. And let me tell you, that horse was a monster. This horse could run like there was no tomorrow. And Wesley gets him right. And somehow or another, I don't know how he does it, but he teaches them to run on dirt on the grass. I don't know how he does it, but that's the way I've seen Wesley train these horses, and he goes to Europe. He's very successful in Europe with these horses, which is all grass. But he's also successful here, especially with young horses. Wesley Ward is the master of getting two-year-olds right. He could show up anywhere and win. The American trainer, first American trainer to go to Ascot and win. He's got a great crew behind him, great owners, just fantastic all the way around. And so this horse is a horse that I think might be able to just not cakewalk through, but he might be able to get to the mile and a quarter for the Derby. And the reason I say that is because Wesley has horses that are bred for the grass, and usually when you get a horse that's bred for the grass, you're looking at a route of ground. That's what you're looking at. And it just depends on how he handles that dirt. And with the track being as it is in Churchill, that does sometimes favor a grass horse when they come off the grass and everything. But there's nobody better than Wesley Ward for a horse on the grass. And our last title horse is Superman Shaq. He's a half-brother to star Mono May Girl. He showed vast improvements since breaking his maiden by 5.5 furlongs for Pete Miller. This $550,000 two-year-old purchase figures to move forward in distance and as the distance increases. And he could be a divisional player if the Colts, anything, is half as good as his big sister is. Not only Europe. So those are my top 10 right there for the horses. Now, speaking of the top 10, and when we went back to my first bet on the top 10, which was Jackie's Glory, we recently had at Belmont Park Champagne Stakes. And the Champagne Stakes is usually a very good test for a two-year-old to see if he's ready for the, you know, the journey to the Kentucky Derby. Now, this is our first race, like I said in our documentary, of how they get there, that we really focus on. And we start weeding away horses, like we've got the 10 going into the Breeders' Cup, and I guarantee you that after the Breeders' Cup is over, we'll probably have maybe five or six of those horses will, you know, we'll keep following, continuing on how they get there, the 2021 Kentucky Derby. And also, you know, like I said, this Jackie's Warrior, he was in a good field, you know, on October 10th at Belmont Park. He ran in the Champagne Stakes, which is a grade one. Very, very good, very, very good race. And he had a lot of good horses over there. It was a short field, it was a six-horse field. This Jackie's Warrior was trained by Steve Ashmussen. And we had Chad Brown had his reinvestment colt in there that we talked about. Steve Ashmussen had another horse in there called Midnight Burp, which was an excellent training partner, you know, for Jackie's Warrior. Jackie's Warrior was built from post four in there. And like I said, it was a small field, six-horse field, and you couldn't ask for anything better than that, you know, to get a small field to start, you know, your horse on your own, the journey to the 2021 Kentucky Derby. So after the race loaded up and they were off, we were trying to figure out how Jackie's Warrior was going to do, and I'm pleased to say that Jackie's Warrior has a perfect record. This horse kept his perfect record, and he threw off that 5.5-length victory in the $250,000 Champagne Stakes at Belmont. Making his first start at a mile, he was good. He was good. And that tells you a lot, you know, going into the Breeders' Cup. You know, you're looking approximately 4 weeks away, you know, from October 10th to, you know, the November 7th, you know, for this horse. He was great. He's Kentucky bred, trained by Steve Ashmussen, and ridden by Joe Rosario. You know, he's got a good pedigree on him. You know, he's got the blood to go the distance with it. He's just phenomenal. He was a $95,000 sale horse. It came in September. For 2019. He was unbelievable. He was sent off in the field in sixth as a favorite. He took the lead a few strides out of the gate, and he wasn't rushed out of the gate. He broke good, and he did phenomenal. His splits that he had for the race was 23-1, 46-5, for getting the three quarters and 1/10 and six. Rosario was on him, and he was really impressed with the horse. The final time of the race was 135-4 on fast track. I tell you, you know, he did an easy. He had an easy half mile. He came home real quick, and that was amazing. How quick he came home. So that tells you in itself right there that this horse knows what the business is all about. That when he gets where he gets at, he's got to go, and he goes. And it appeared to me that he can carry his speed over the distance. I think this horse is going to acquire some tactical speed. And with Rosario riding, you know, you couldn't ask for any better than that. He does everything correct. He's got a lot of class to him. the one-turn mile certainly didn't seem to bother me. And that's my next question. You know, when you have a one-turn mile, it's pretty much straight business for the jockey and for the horse. You know, it's all in front of you, and you know where you got to go, and you know what you got to do on there. So I think the two turns, it'll be interesting for him. I don't think he'll have a problem getting the distance. I don't think Joel will have a problem placing him properly, no matter what post position he gets. Joel's been there before, and he knows what he needs to do. You know, this is a beautiful horse, a big horse. It looks like everything he does is easy. You know, that's amazing how he does it. You know, he just takes it all in and, you know, and lets his talent carry him forward. And so I was excited about it. I felt good that at least I picked the ones. You know, the horse looks like he enjoys running. I just don't know what to say about the horse. It's going to see in the Breeders' Cup, you know, what he'll do with a large field. You know, that gets in front of him when the dirt's hitting him in the face. You know, when he's got to actually, work for position. You know, that's going to be an interesting follow-up with him, to see what happens, you know, with him there. He breaks two lengths in front of everyone. And all the horses can do is chase, you know, and that makes a big difference. You know, if you're being chased or if you're chasing, some people like to chase, some people like to, you know, take the lead. I don't know how this horse is going to act when he gets, you know, to the mile marker and somebody's hooking and they got to finish up the race, you know, working for it. I don't know what would happen to him if he gets behind a wall of horses. You know, and how the dirt hits him in the face when he gets bumped and jostled around, pushed around. He's a big horse, and I think that he just might have, you know, what it takes to do it. But again, you know, they're young. They're all learning. We don't know what's going to happen with him. We'll see what goes on from there, you know, with him. But I was really impressed with him. I think a lot of people were impressed with him. When he came out of the gate, like I said, he broke good, and he went by 5.5. And, you know, he was lifting his foot, got ahead by 1/4, and then he just drew off. And they were all chasing him, that was for sure. You know, like you said, I tell you, he got bumped at the start by reinvestment risk. And he broke in brutally. So now we know he's got a little bit of experience of getting hit, you know, banged around a little bit. And he showed the way. He showed the way in hand. And then he just drew off. He just drew off. And they didn't have to ask him anything down the stretch, which was good. And at Belmont, that was good. So, you know, we'll kind of see what happens with that. And one of the other horses that we had in our top 10 was Essential Quality. And Essential Quality won the Claiborne Breeders Futurity in Kingman. This is a nice horse, too. You know, they'll meet up in the Breeders' Cup, you know. But Essential Quality, he's trained by Brad Cox. And Brad Cox, he's been on a tear this year. He's always right there in the hunt. And you got to beat Brad Cox whenever you see a horse in his race. And that's what a lot of trainers, you know, hate to have to do, have to beat the trainer and the horse and the jockey. And Louis Saez rode the horse. And he won the race by 3.25 lengths. And there were some nice horses, you know, in that race. Kingman, which is where the Breeders' Cup's going to be at. So that gives a good advantage, you know, to him because he's been over that surface and competitively over that surface. And that makes a difference. So you can train over a surface, but when you're competitive over a surface, it makes a big difference. and a lot of horses don't get that opportunity when they're going to the Derby. They train at their local home base, and sometimes they're lucky enough to get a race over the ground at Churchill, and that helps you. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, but Central Quality, he's a nice horse. He made the pace. He was four wide in the first turn, and he shifted down into the two path, and then he moved forward down the back stretch. He kicked away from his opponent, and he did what he was asked. And that's kind of scary, you know, when you got a horse that does what you ask. Now, the difference between him and we were sitting here, you know, thinking about the racing, Jackie's Warrior, he was never asked. He just did. Here was Lucy, Central Quality. You know, he was asked and he did what he had to do. That makes a big difference. One you have to ask, the other one you don't. And I tell you, Central Quality, he might be right on top of me. You never can tell what's going to happen. And, so that's where we're at with that, on how they get there. We'll have more of our, on our Breeders' Cup show that'll be coming up here in the next couple of weeks, because we're getting close to it. To the Breeders' Cup. I hope everybody can tune in see the Breeders' Cup. Go to one of your favorite online betting companies, and you can see what else going on, and you can bet if you want. But just by joining, it's free to join most of the OTBs. And once you join, then you have access to all the racetracks in North America and, you know, in Europe that are racing through, you know, those betting facilities. But it's nice. You can bet. You can wager. A lot of times they'll offer a $100 bonus if you open up an account with them and deposit $100. They'll match that $100. So that's always, you know, nice to see when they do that, you know, with them. Now, on how they get there, our schedule is getting to be very, very heavy. We're going to be all over the place coming up here. Like I said, officially, how they get there and are at the wire, 2021 Kentucky Derby, officially for International Equine Network starts on November 6th. With the Breeders' Cup Jubilee. Now, we do have a race in Europe in Doncaster. It's the Bertram Futurity Trophy on October 24th. That's in Europe. So that's going to be interesting to see. Not many horses come out of Europe to run in the Kentucky Derby. The purse money and purse structure in Europe is so good. It's just, not doesn't benefit them to come all the way to the States, you know, spend a lot of money to run because it's tough, you know, for them to do that. So the purse structure they have in Europe's excellent. So, you know, they usually don't have to, or they don't want to leave, you know, home for that. You know, so like I said, November 6th, how they get there, the 2021 Kentucky Derby starts with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And then November 28th, we're looking at the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs. We're looking at the Tokyo Race Course on November 28th also. We're racing in Tokyo. These are all Breeders' Cup. These are all Kentucky Derby winning year-end races. On December 5th, we're at Aqueduct for the Remsen Stakes. Then we're back into Japan, to Kawasaki, Japan, for the Zen Nippon Stakes race. That will be on December 16th. So it starts to pick up, you know, pretty quick here. Then on December 19th, we're in Los Alamitos Futurity and Los Alamitos Race Course. Then we're at Remington Park on December 20th for the Springboard Mile, which is a good race. That's a good race. Sometimes you see the Kentucky Derby Trial winner, you know, come from that direction. You can see very good quality out there. They're running for Olympics December 20th. And then we really start getting into the big time, you know, races where the trainers have to really start evaluating their horses and planning their trip. It's an elimination race that if you win this race, then you really have to be serious about where you're going. And you only have, 5 months till the Kentucky Derby, starting in January 1st. And you got to be careful where you go and who you might run against. You got to look at weather conditions in the past years. You got to look at the talent that's, where are they going, who's going where, and that type of thing. But on January 1st, a good way to start off the new year is the Jerome Stakes at Aqueduct. And then on January 2nd is the Sham Stakes at Santa Anita. And, man, I tell you what, that joker is loaded for bear out there. That's a race there. You fare well in that race, you're on your way to Churchill on the first of May. And then we have the Lacombe Stakes at the Fairgrounds January 16th. It's a good race. Usually a fairly full field in there, and you really get tested there. And then another race that I really like, and you see a lot of good horses come out of this race. And most of the top two, three winners, finishers in Oakland, is the Smarting Jones Stakes. And they usually end up at Churchill Downs. And then February 1st, we have the Robert B. Lewis standing at Santa Anita. We have the Withers again at Aqueduct. And so we'll see how many of the horses in New York stay in New York to run the Withers. And then my favorite, which I really like, is because I'm here from South Florida, is the Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream. That really lets you know that springtime is around. Derby's getting close. You see a lot of good horses, at that race that are playing if they're going, down the road. Then you have the highest stakes at Tokyo Racecourse. That's February 1st also. So that's really a good race. And then, got a lot of good winners that come out of this ring. It's the Sam F. Davis at Tampa Bay Downs on February 6th. That is a great race weekend over Tampa Bay Downs. If you're in South Florida or coming to South Florida, I suggest you take a look at going to Tampa on February to see that. Then we go back out west to Golden Gate Fields to the El Camino Royal Derby, February 13th. The Risen Star, Division 1, February 13th at the Fairgrounds. The Risen Star, Division 2, at the Fairgrounds, February 13th. So you've got a lot of horses in New Orleans that are going to be pointing to the Kentucky Derby. Another true test is the Southwest Stakes. Oklahoma on February 19th. A lot of good horses come out of that. Then we're back to the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream on March the 1st. And then we're back into Japan on March the 1st. That's going to be a small race, and not much have come out of that race in Japan that time of year, mainly because of the weather. It's really bad. Then we have the Patent Stakes at Dundalk, March 1st. We have the Road to the Derby Stakes, Kempton Park on March the 4th. We have the Gotham at Aqueduct on March the 6th. The Tampa Bay Derby, March the 6th. Tampa Bay Downs to San Felipe, March the 6th at Santa Anita Park. So they're slowly getting there with them. Then we have the Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turkey Lane, March 13th. We have the Rebel Stakes again, in Oakland on March the 13th. The Louisiana Derby, we have March the 20th, which is probably my favorite Derby race, prep race, because I was worked with a horse called Albaba in 1982 that won the Louisiana Derby. And that was really exciting because it was my first real big race that I, horse that I'd raced and worked with, to do that. And, that was really good. And then we come to Gulfstream Park for the Florida Derby, March 27th, which is perfectly timed before the Kentucky Derby. Then we have the Dauphin Stakes on April 1st in Aqueduct. We have the Bluegrass in Keeneland April the 1st. We have the Santa Anita Derby, Santa Anita April the 1st. We have the Arkansas Derby at Oak Lawn, which moved later, and that's April 1st. We have the Lexington Stakes in Keeneland April the 1st. We have the Cardinal Condition Stakes from Charleston City April the 1st. So that ends up our road to the Kentucky Derby. And that's a lot of racing, folks. Every Saturday, literally, you're going to be able to see horses on the way to the Kentucky Derby. And also, it's that time of year for all of us getting there. And we're trying to get the programming a little bit better here at International Equine Network. Hopefully, I'll be making enough money for where I can hire some good announcers and good-looking people to get on our video that starts next week. Get some real professionals. But it's an idea that I had, and it's an idea that I'm sticking with. I think it'll eventually get better as we go, down the road and as all the races come up. We'll start getting more. I've got 14 live interviews scheduled, 12 for sure, but 14 lined up over the next 14 weeks. But we'll have interviews with trainers, owners, jockeys, veterinarians. We're even going to talk to an airplane pilot that flies the horses. I've known him from FedEx and when I was flying with Enstone. And we're going to talk to him about how it is to fly horses. It's a live cargo that moves. Most of the cargo, the pilots, your cargo doesn't move. It can shift, but not like they can, with the horses. We're going to talk to transportation people. One thing I think everybody really likes is when we go and talk to our feed distributors, how they mix feed and how they feed the horses. That's going to be a real good segment there for us. See how the feed's mixed and everything. And then hopefully we're going to get Steve Norman on for an interview. Steve is a fantastic person. He's the best blacksmith that there is, and he's one of the best people that there is. This guy is just phenomenal. Not only does he shoe horses, but he plays bluegrass music. And, he's an interesting, person to talk to. He's been around. He's been there and done that with Steve Norman, the blacksmith. And then we're going to go inside the sales. We're going to go inside the sales on our show called Last Call. And that's all part of getting to the Derby, too. It's how they buy and when they buy and why they buy, and how they get to the Kentucky Derby with them. Then we're going to get with the thing that I think everybody's going to like on how they get there is we start off our programming on how they get to the 2021 Kentucky Derby with the owner. And we're going to see how he buys, when he buys, and what his farm philosophy is on getting to the Derby. And then we go to the trainers, and then we go to the jockeys, and the feed people, and the blacksmith, and we go to everybody. And you're going to see exactly how they get to the Derby. And I think it'll be interesting. You don't have to know a lot about horses, but it's going to be a good take. It'll be a one-hour nationally broadcast television documentary. Folks, that's about it. As they say in New York, may the horse be with you, no matter what breed or what country you're from. Next week, we're going to have a 2021 Olympic update for the 2021 equestrian Olympic equestrian events from the Tokyo Olympics. So tune in with us next week. Call in whenever you can. Go to our website. Just let us know if we can broadcast your equestrian event. Next Thursday, folks, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for joining the International Equine Network.